I'm Christian Abbott.
I'm Nathan Lavender.
I'm Sean Abbott.
And this is the Red Mist Podcast.
Hello, welcome to the Red Mist Podcast, Season 3, Episode 47. The Race Hill Farms, number 47 Buick, of the late, great Ron Bouchard from Fitchburg, Mass, Nate.
That's right.
Claim to fame. Oh,
that's a good one. That's a really good one.
1981 upset winner of the Talladega 500.
Was that against Darrell Waltrip and Terry Labonte?
That was Nate.
See, I know some NASCAR.
That was classic.
Oh yeah.
And the best part was, if that was at Daytona, he would never have won the race because it was Talladega and the finish line is further down.
Yeah.
He snuck past those two.
Sure did. They forgot he was even there.
We go. There you go. Unfortunately, Nate, Ron passed in 2015. Very upsetting. Ron was a powerhouse in the mortified divisions around New England. Made his way down south, as they say. All right, there you go, Nate. Look at that. That was exciting. On tonight's episode, we'll talk about Formula One in the desert under the lights. Qatar. At the Losail circuit. I would say it was an upset win. What do you think?
You're calling it an upset win?
Yes, I am. Yeah. Anyways. All right. Well, we'll get to it. We will talk about snitches.
Did they get stitches?
Yep. Stitches. And then we'll talk about some penalties. And then we'll look ahead to this weekend for the season. The season finale. I was so worked up about this race. I almost choked up.
Season's already,
I know.
He's choked up because it's Lewis Hamilton's last race for Mercedes.
Well, you know what? I have some thoughts on that too. No. All good. for Lewis. And then, we have some news that broke today. Several female drivers. Well, do we call it female women drivers?
Drivers.
I like to say drivers.
Yeah, driver updates.
Driver news.
Yeah.
I'm disappointed in one. I mean, good for her. She's going to be in a fantastic series. But there is some exciting news at the factory level that came out today.
Do we want to just dive into it? Because we're already hinting at it pretty hard.
No, we'll come back to it.
Okay.
We'll come back to it.
Well, so much for ladies first.
Yeah. And then there's some... Oh, all right. Well, we could do ladies first. and then we'll wind up with some NASCAR news. Two teams could be out of NASCAR soon.
I wonder who they are, Sean.
I wonder who they are.
I thought everyone has a charter.
Not everyone.
Well, not everyone. Not after today.
Yeah. Oh, Sean, I can't make this up.
Oh, no. I know. The unfortunate thing is that Michael Jordan's involved in this, but the fact that Denny Hamlin is involved in this it makes it even better.
Yeah.
And the turkeys over at Front Row Motorsports, too. Anyways. All right. Let's go to the desert to LaSalle. And welcome back to the podium, Max Verstappen.
Yes, and fellow Front Row personnel, well, also joined him on the podium.
Who's that?
The not pole sitter, George Russell.
The not. He didn't make the podium. Didn't make
the podium.
He did. No, I thought he got third.
He collapsed.
No, oh god, no. He collapsed, like he always does.
We'll get to the sprint.
Nate, we're talking about the Grand Prix.
I know. This is the problem with the sprint.
Look, the sprint. The only thing with the sprint was that Lando played the team game.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, he did.
And then he caught heat for it.
He repaid the favor.
Yeah, it was fine by me.
It was fine by me, so I don't know why Lando caught heat. So yeah. Anyways, well, hey, George, what comes around goes around.
I know. He does it to himself.
He does. Yeah. He is moving up on the list. I mean, he is moving into a solid second to Lance Stroll among hated Formula One drivers in the paddock.
Big time. Because, I mean...
I like to refer to George as Toto Jr.
But the difference between George and Stroll is George Russell has skill. Right? I mean, then again, he is in a good car. Not great.
Uh-huh.
But I think that's what really the only thing that really separates him from Stroll. Other than that, there is plenty of example of why I would guess a lot of drivers and maybe even team principals, you know, wouldn't consider George Russell for their team.
Yep, I think so. So let's get to the race. I don't know. Do you guys want to spend time talking about qualifying?
Well, Max got on pole, but then George was trying to find every which way to get him not on pole.
Yeah, and he did.
And he got it. And despite being on pole and on the right side of the grippy side of the track. Well, what happened at the start?
He went from first to fourth.
He pulled his best Lando Norris impersonation and just lost all these spots.
Yep.
At the start.
Anyways.
And Max did exactly what he said he was going to do.
Max did exactly what he did, and I really enjoyed what Lando did.
Yeah,
he almost grabbed the lead.
Yeah,
he did. And then the other McLaren followed suit. So it was Red Bull, McLaren, and then George. And then after the race, they asked George about it, and he goes, "Well, we didn't do what we didn't do. I didn't get a good start, and Lewis didn't get behind me." Hello.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that Lewis had something to do with you getting off the line.
Mm-hmm. Oh, last year, didn't they wreck? Or...
Yes.
Lewis and George.
Wow.
Yeah, they tangled last year because Lewis tried to go around the outside.
Outside, and Georgie didn't expect it?
Well, to be fair, Max was on the very inside, so George couldn't really move down, and it was just kind of a misjudgment on that end. However, optics show the Mercedes got into it.
Yep. All right. So from that point on, I thought it was Max drove a brilliant race to increase the gap to get the out of DRS. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was impressive. And then maintained that. And then, like, it was kind of weird with the tires. Like, I didn't think they were ever going to make a pit stop.
No,
I mean,
but
it's
I mean,
been the winning strategy in some races.
I mean, they definitely...
Well, you have to make one. I mean, because Lando was definitely in... He was in the undercut zone, you know? Like, he could have pulled it off.
Well, he... Yes and no, because what F1 TV fails to show you is the predicted track position of where they'll pop out after they pit.
So
he could have pit for the undercut, but he might have been stuck in traffic. Like that's what happened with George.
Okay.
When he pit early.
Well, but George also had a 7-second penalty. I mean, 7-second pit stop.
Wasn't that his? Nah. Okay. Yeah. I mean. So I mean, yes. But he was also. It wasn't like it was anything further forward was going to be any better.
No, like
the track. This track is very similar to Monaco, where you just can't pass a whole lot.
It is very narrow.
It's a bike track.
Yeah, it. I shouldn't say it's narrow. It's just the way the track flows doesn't give you a lot of space for a car.
It doesn't, right, exactly. It flows for a MotoGP bike, but it doesn't flow for a Formula One car. I'd hate this. I mean, geez, I mean, wet cars there would be. Oh.
They do.
It's bad enough for the WEC does or GT3.
WEC does.
Yeah, WEC
does. They do. Ooh.
Yeah, it's. I've seen
SRO GT3 races there, and that's brutal.
I don't think it's a great track for cars.
Better for bikes.
The other thing too is turn one you can go side by side sort of, but like that's really it. And then anywhere else on the track, right, you go offline, you're screwed.
Yeah.
I mean it's basically like a wet race the entire time. And I mean they've since I can't even remember when they first went there, because the first time that this track popped up was I think after either during or after COVID, and they
It during COVID, so they did the Bahrain
and then because I just remember the first time that they went there they were blowing tires up after 10 laps, Pirelli's been trying to bring a more robust tire for this track just because of the heat and the abrasiveness of it. But unlike last year, I think it was, where the track was super dusty, this year it didn't seem like that at all. So they were able to get up to speed pretty quick. But I mean, regardless, it didn't really change the outcome of the racing either.
Well, it wasn't so much dirt, but it was just bits of mirror on the road.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, instead of the tires exploding because they because of all the heat and energy being put into it, no, let's just run over debris that's left and ignored on the track.
Which that took a very long time for the yellow to come out.
I guess just to fast forward. So Max gets a good start, pulls away. There's a caution at the start of the race because Colapinto.
Hulkenberg got underneath. Got underneath Gasly. Oh no, Ocon.
No, Ocon.
He got underneath Ocon and he slid up into him and then caught Colapinto out.
Yes.
Who was on the outside? So but, I mean.
Was it Colapinto or was it Albon?
It was Colapinto because Albon got caught up later.
Yeah, with Stroll.
Yes. On the first lap, it was Ocon and Hulkenberg and Gasly.
Right.
I mean, sorry. Hülkenberg, Ocon, and Calapinto.
Yes, because then later in that same lap, it was Stroll and Albon.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Because I remember Stroll was
and the Hulk was the Hulk was able to get all the way around the track with the flat tire and Calapinto.
Yeah.
And Ocon were in the trap done.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that happens. They stack up behind the safety car. They go again, and then the second safety car. Oh no! Then another safety car comes out right afterwards because of Perez. Right.
Right, because he spun on the safety car in lap.
Yes, because the transmission just locked itself. Like it
quotation fingers.
I don't. You listen to that on board. It sounds like that. But then he got it going. I don't know if he just. Oh no. And then he got it going a little bit and then parked it. That's what it was.
Yeah.
So safety car comes out again. Very safety car heavy race. Not. I don't know. Had the safety car not happened throughout the whole race, it probably would have been some undercuts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or overcuts that would have determined the outcome of the race. But I mean, it was really down to Verstappen and Lando at that point.
Right.
So it's not really clear of which one would have benefited, with how the race went, because it didn't go long enough to really see tire kick in. Because Max had a good strong stint, and then Lando was starting to reel him back in towards the end of that stint. When the caution came out for debris, because now we'll get into it. The stewards.
Bottas got into it.
Well, so Albon's mirror flung off, and it was just sitting in the middle of the front straight.
That's correct.
And everyone,
it was on the front straight, but
off the racing line.
Off the racing line, because the racing line there is from the middle to the left.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to go out to the right, it's because you're in a big passing or blocking situation. But I'm not going to say it was safely out of the way, but it was offline. Let's put it that way.
It was definitely not safely out of the way, because that is the only passing area on the track.
Yeah.
So it
was offline. It was
that was horrendous in my viewpoint. Like they've called before in previous races, like you don't call that, or at least just a VSC to have someone run out and grab the piece and go off.
That's my thing. It was on the pit straight, okay?
Yeah.
Right? So it was close to the pit wall, okay? It was on that side of the track.
Right.
Why they couldn't have done that, Christian, is a fantastic point. A VSC, right? All you have to do is neutralize the field. They do this all the time in the WEC. Right, and the race director in WEC was the race director here in Formula One, two years ago, and they didn't like him because of the way he called the races. And I find in WEC that he calls probably the best races ever. Yeah. That when there is a issue on the track, he'll put the virtual safety car out. He neutralizes the field. The next instruction is, we have debris on the pit straight. There will be a worker out there. Stay on the racing line. That's all he had to say.
Or even,
that's all that had to been said.
Or even he could go one step further too. And if they're concerned about cars being on that side of the road, close pit lane.
Very good point.
Like because
again, there were plenty of ways to do this. It led to the fact that Bottas ended up over there and crushed it.
Right, which then led to multiple punctures. So
right, multiple punctures, and then it led to another gaffe by Team McLaren. Okay.
Yeah.
That team basically hung Lando out to dry on this. Okay. Mm-hmm. There was Christian, you sent the video. I did not catch it post race, but thank you, Nate. Not sure if you saw it with Anthony Davidson.
No, I didn't see this. Okay.
He broke it down exactly what happened.
Yeah.
Okay. And of course, like the Sky guys, were taking snipey shots at Max anyway, so it was kind of funny. But anyways, so first off, yellow flag comes out. Okay. Max sees it. It goes to double yellow. Max lifts, and they have that. You can actually hear the car do it. Lando, for whatever reason, I think he was so laser focused on following Max, never saw it. But this is what I don't understand. Where was his team on the board saying there's a yellow flag on the front straightaway?
Nowhere. It's my guess.
Huh? I'm sorry.
Nowhere.
Right?
No, nowhere.
Right. Exactly. Nowhere. And yeah, how many times during this year have they the exact same? I don't know what they're doing. Are they having like, is it tea and biscuits or whatever, tea and whatever?
Crumpets.
Biscuits, yeah. Crumpets, whatever. Is that what they're doing on the pit wall, or are they not paying attention?
I mean, pulling their best Ferrari impersonation, really. I mean,
they've become the new Ferrari. They really have. And the fact is, and then Lando gets stuck with the penalty, and then of course it's like everyone's like, oh, Max snitch. All Max did was, gee, he caught up to me kind of quick there. Can you check it? And he was right.
Yeah. And again, too, like even if, all right, not again.
And Lando just one last point on that. Lando post race said, I never saw it.
Right.
So I own it. He apologized, but my whole thing is, where is this vaunted pit wall of McLaren?
Yeah. Because as McLaren, like even if Lando misses that,
somebody should have caught it.
Well, right. So if he doesn't, well, if the yellow came out really that quick, where the pit wall didn't have much of a chance to instruct them about it, then they could at least try by telling Lando, "Hey, there was a yellow here. It shows that you gained time on Max. Let's give up some time.
Yeah, give up
and just give up some show time. That you exactly. made an effort to give it back on right. track. Because there's been plenty of scenarios where drivers have done that with one another of trying to make a pass. You're like, nope, not good
and
enough.
If you,
go, let it go.
If you, as you said, Christian, if you had done that." And Lando reset himself to maybe even say he was a second and just a half behind or whatever.
Yeah.
And went to a second and three quarters or 2 seconds behind. Okay. He acknowledged he made a mistake. He reset it. He, no harm, no foul. They're good.
Right.
Right. And then it's like all they have to do on the Red Bull wall is just tell Max he acknowledged that Lando post that slowed up. He is now back outside the limit of where he was. Yeah. Max would have been fine with it.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, this is – all right. That's one of my – that's that rant. Sorry.
Yeah. No. No worries.
I mean,
I just like you're there. Help your driver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys are trying to win it. You're trying to win the World Constructors Championship.
And they're putting on an example of how not to do it.
And it's a team effort. And they leave the driver out there. Yeah, it's unbelievable. Yeah. Anyways,
I'm still
continue.
The steward stuff.
Oh yeah,
That's
100%. 100% agree.
Really getting on my nerve because I'm like it just changed the complexity of the race and it like Sainz and Lewis did not need to finish where they did. They could have been Sainz could have been one position better. Yes, but
it just made a bad day even worse.
Yeah.
And the kicker for Lando is that because of that digression and the team not helping him, he suffered the maximum penalty on that.
Right.
That penalty is the maximum penalty because it, yellow, that double yellow is deemed to be, you know, there was no excuse. You know, if they had just told them back it up, they could have argued, look, we gave the time back.
Right.
Then it would have been like, okay, fine.
Yeah.
So, you know, so they, you know, but you can't fault on the penalty. The penalty is you sped through a double yellow. That's the penalty. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing really that from that perspective, that's how Lando got hosed. But he got hosed because of his team.
Yeah. And you know, the other thing, too, that I was wondering, because I saw that the breakdown from Anthony Davis before I saw it, because I don't know where everyone's getting these, but I need to find it. Apparently, you can just find the telemetry of all the drivers.
Yeah, somewhere. There's an app. Okay. It's called F1 Timo or something.
Okay.
There is an app out there.
My thought of to like back Lando in this case was maybe he did lift, but because he was in Max's draft, it didn't slow down.
Slow down, right?
But then you could have argued
he did lift. He just was in the draft, and then it's like, okay, yeah, that's what are you gonna do? As long as you can hear the motor lift, because on Max you definitely heard it lift.
Yes, but when you see the trace on Lando's car, he didn't lift at all. So that was
he didn't lift, and that's what Anthony Davidson was pointing out. But don't tell this guy presenter host that. Mm. He goes, oh, that was cheeky by Max. I was just like, and you wonder why Max doesn't talk to you guys. Anyways,
just plays the rule book.
Yeah, that's why I don't watch Sky. He knows the rule book. Unfortunately, that's the sad part. All right. So from that point on, Lando's now out of Lando's race is run. He comes in. He pits. He came in for a drive through. Right. It was a 10 second stop and go. Stop go, right. So did they change tires? No, they couldn't do that.
They stopped
and stopped and went. And then he has to go. Okay. And then he can come in and get service if he needed it, right?
Yeah,
after that.
You're making it.
The race is on. Yeah. So Max, I'm sorry, Lando's race is run. Max now is just, you know,
cruise control, cruise mode.
Sunday drive.
Yeah. Yep, Charles makes a spirited run to second. Mm-hmm. You know, gifted obviously by Max. Again, Oscar with a fine drive. No issue there this weekend. Russell just utterly collapsed. I know he finished fourth, but that's inexcusable.
From pole position. That's
from pole position. Yeah, yeah.
If you want to go based off the sprint race, arguably having the car to win.
Right. And then Gasly with fine drive to fifth.
Yes. Again,
And then Carlos rallied back to sixth. Fred with a pig of an Aston finishes seventh.
Yeah.
And then team renewed this weekend. Steak.
Yeah.
Guanyu with an eighth place finish, and it was a competitive car all weekend, and Bottas finished 11th. He got overwhelmed by Lando coming through the field like, you know, a bat out of hell. Right. You know, but what are you going to do there? And then K-Mag with a ninth place finish.
Yeah, eight out of 10 teams scoring points this week.
Yeah, yeah. So, the penalty to Lando kind of upset the apple cart big time. Mm-hmm. You know, I props to Lando for, you know, just, you know, on me, but I'd be PO'd at my team right now. I'm sorry.
They're trying to throw away the Constructors' Championship to Ferrari.
It's a is it a half point? Is it what is it? a half point?
What?
The constructors? It's something kooky. The constructors standing.
No, I think it's like 20 points McLaren has over Ferrari.
Which could totally swing the other way.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, if... Basically...
Oh, yeah. Sorry, you're right. 21 points.
Basically, what needs to happen this weekend is Ferrari 1-2, and then Max and the Mercedes split the McLaren.
Yeah.
Possible that is, but...
Yeah.
Possible.
We can hope. Sure.
No, we can definitely hope. Couple other items from the race. Lewis, I really starting to feel bad.
It's gonna be on Friday next year, so it'll be fine.
I know. It's just crazy.
And
he just looks like a beaten down.
Well, okay, could be worse. You could be Esteban Ocon crashing on the first lap and then realizing you're not racing this weekend.
No, we'll get to that because that's
just
wrong.
Just saying.
Yeah, but that's what your interpretation of that is incorrect. So, and there's something that involves Lewis with that too, which is completely BS. So, anyways, we can get to that in a second.
Right.
Good on the stake team scoring points. What else can you say? I mean, I just Max once again just putting it out there. So I was very impressed.
Right, and I was thinking Oscar Piastri would do something well because I think I got this right. His first statistic. Victory, right, in the sprint. Was that Qatar, I believe? So I was expecting him to do pretty well here because he's, done well in the past. I mean, granted, it's a sprint win, but still, I was expecting him to do pretty well, and here he is on the podium, saving McLaren's buffer. But I'll tell you, I don't know. I think it could go either way. Ferrari could do really good in Abu Dhabi and really show up. But I think it's just going to be a Max victory. I'm not entirely sure because I'd even go as far as it's probably going to be a wild card between the top four manufacturers. So. But we'll see. Abu Dhabi is usually a fun race to watch anyway.
Fun race to watch. Don't let everyone not forget about 2021. That was a fun race to watch.
Oh, yeah. Some post-race news. As Nate pointed out, Ocon will not be racing. The reason for that is that he approached Flav about wanting to be able to drive the Haas the next day after the season.
Oh.
So Flav told him, okay, let me go think about it. So Flav said, okay, here's the deal. In order to do that, we're going to let you out of your contract for the Abu Dhabi race. And he agreed, and Ocon agreed.
Okay.
So he wanted to get to the Haas team, so he's going to be in the Haas. McDowan will be in the Alpine for that race.
Jack
to McDowan. Mick's coming out of retirement.
Yeah, clearly.
clearly. Anyway, so Jack's going to be in the car. I don't think that's a big deal. There was a lot of... I made the mistake of going back and because I wanted to get the reaction from the folks at Sky, and like they are unreal. They just go off on you know, how can Alpine do this? You're fighting for with Haas and so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. And it's like, well, we have a contract. If he wants to run the car, this was the option to get rid of the car. You know, get him. So, you know. Now, on the flip side of this, Lewis would like to test the Ferrari, had approached Toto about being able to do this after the thing, and Toto being so just spiteful about things, said, no, we have sponsor arrangements the following day. You need to honor those. And for the next month after he's done the season. That's why Lewis is not able to drive the Ferrari on the test day. Like, he's not on your team anymore. What? Just let's move on. You know?
Right. So F1 has its way sometimes.
Has its way, and Checo might be done.
I think he is. But you know what's kind of funny? I don't know. My personal pick for the second Red Bull seat is Liam Lawson. But there's a lot of people going that Yugi's the person. I mean, maybe this is just Honda talk. But, I mean...
Well,
I'm going to throw him in the second seat. It's Liam Lawson.
Well, there's also a lot of rumbling under the ground that it may be Bottas.
No, really?
Yes. With Honda leaving at the end of 2025, there really isn't a value. The thought is, I would love to see Yuki in the car just because, but there's a lot of them talking that, you know, Max could be gone at the end of 2025, so they want to get some. They want to bring an experienced driver in so that they could possibly transition if Max goes out.
That'd be very interesting to see. I mean,
That's just one of the rumors. I think it's going to be either Lawson or Yuki. That's my opinion.
Only thing that I don't see Bottas being brought in, only because I thought he has come out and said that Red Bull weren't interested in him.
Well, that's before this whole thing with Checo. Now, this whole thing has blown up even more this past week. The week leading into Qatar, it's really blown up.
It seems like a lot recently has just kind of popped up.
Yeah, I never saw the Ocon thing coming, and then that broke after the race.
Never saw the Ocon thing coming. Didn't see the Cadillac thing being a thing.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think the Cadillac thing breaking before the end of the season, maybe after the season, but not like you said, Christian. It's like I just kind of thought it was like kind of just sitting there, you know, it wasn't going anywhere.
Yeah.
But anyways, yeah. Well, so we'll see what happens. I mean, I don't think there's a Red Bull shareholders meeting after the race in Abu Dhabi on Monday. I do not see, regardless of even if Perez wins, I don't see him sticking this out, because essentially the point differential with him to Max this year is 200 something points, isn't it?
277 points.
Right. That for that car, it's inexcusable. So, anyways,
yeah, he's right. I saw a funny stat on Twitter. Checo is 277 points away from Max. If you add up the total point differential amongst all of the teammates from the other teams, those combined to 251 points.
Wow.
So. And I know the way the scoring system works, it's a little, it inflates the top. So even if you do finish first and second, like you're still, you could still be 140 plus points behind if you just finished 1-2 every single race. I guess the only other fun takes, I mean, if we're gonna, if stuff's just popping up, whatever, I've seen a few other stories where apparently the, with Perez out, Isaac Adjar might be going to VCARB for next year, but in when he got pressed in his interview, either post Qatar or it would have been post Qatar, he was kind of just avoiding the question or was giving kind of broad statements. Granted, like with some of the younger guys, I mean, it really could just be face value of like, yeah, he really doesn't know what's going on because no one's told him what's going to happen. So, I mean, I would expect he would be the one next in line, just like a lot of other people of who would get a seat at VCARB. As much as VCARB or Toro Rosso say that they're now a separate team from Red Bull or they're trying to distance themselves, I don't see that. Because they really haven't gone out to get a top driver to be the number one driver there. Like you're still just fielding two younger guys, and that's that. So until they sign someone like Bottas, maybe. But and then the other interesting take I saw on the whole Perez thing was because of Newey being gone, instead of him, with all this bad press he's been getting, one take was that he's actually deliberately being this bad because they want to finish third in the constructors. Red Bull, that is, because then they'll have additional wind tunnel time at the end of the year with Newey being gone. So, I mean, you could see it as a development thing that way. However, if you're going to prioritize the Drivers' Championship, sure thing. No problem. I don't see an issue with that. And if they have enough money in sponsorship alone that's able to cover all of their expenses with this new salary cap era in F1, that it's not an issue for them, then yeah, they might be willing to take whatever the hit is from first to third, if that's how they want to play it. But again, that if that's the case at this point, you're in third, so why wouldn't you just tell Perez, like, all right, you know, go actually drive.
Don't need to perform. Don't need to perform. But I just, I don't know, that does seem a little silly to me, because they're already, in my eyes, solidly third anyway.
Well, that's my point. Like, you're in third, so at this point, you don't need to not perform anymore. You can just go out and get your top five like you normally would, or you would be expected of at this point.
Wouldn't it be something if he won and then that was his last race?
It would be a hell of a story. I don't think Perez would
win
at Abu Dhabi because I don't think he's statistically performed well at Abu Dhabi.
No. I don't see it happening.
So that's the only downside to that. Where is it? Do we have some and he finished third in 22 and fourth last year. But again, both the Red Bull was a very dominant car at that point. And really, throughout his whole career, he hasn't done much better than fifth, anyways, at Abu Dhabi. It's not a strong track for him.
Mm-hmm. Okay, right. So,
all right. Should we just move on to some news and notes?
Yeah.
All right. Let's get it to what we alluded to earlier. Let's just quickly start with. I found it disappointing. I mean, not disappointing. It's not like, you know, I just found it like, I was really looking forward to seeing Jamie Chadwick progress up the ladder on Indy with IndyCar, whether it was doing Indy next year, and then, you know, mixing in a few IndyCar races, you know, whether that was a shot at the 500 or possibly, you know, a couple of road course events. I was really hoping to see that. And however it came to light today that she will no longer be driving for Andretti. She will be moving on to DLMS and an LMP2 seat. Just kind of just bummed out.
I mean, it's not the worst thing in the world, but it could be something a lot better.
No, it's just kind of disappointing. You know,
I guess the point that no one kind of really brings up is she that good?
She won a race last year.
She did.
Not in an oval.
I know.
Yeah, but Nate, it doesn't matter. She still won a race.
No, but I understand that. I mean,
How many
oval races does Indy Next do? And I mean, the whole thing with Indy Next is if you don't crash in an Indy Next race on an oval, God love you, it's a win.
Yeah, I mean, Milka Dunas won an oval race, and she's did
what?
She? No, I think she did, or was it? Maybe I'm thinking of someone else.
Yeah, Danica Patrick won at Motegi.
Anyway.
The only other person might have been Sarah Fisher. When you're comparing Sarah Fisher to Milka Dono, oh my God, Nate, please. You can't be doing that.
I just
found it like here we we got somebody on the rise and
who's really good. Jamie
who's really good
is very good. In a race car.
Compared to what's coming into Indy next year.
Right. Personally, I'd like to see her in Indy car. Open wheel. Because I think that's her wheelhouse. Yep. But the downforce prototypes are still in her wheelhouse.
No, I know. So, it was just disappointing.
I agree.
I mean, however, on the upside today, this is the first full Porsche. They named their first female factory driver today, Michelle Gatting from Iron Dames. And she'll be contesting as a factory driver in the Iron Dames Porsche in WEC and as needed elsewhere. Not in hypercar yet, but being a factory driver will possibly get her to be a hypercar test. That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. I just to backtrack a little bit on Jamie. I'm not knocking her that she's not a great racing driver, but she's whether she is that next level ready and has that skill. I think that's the only question because I mean she. She's done 2 years in Indy Next and has one win, one podium, and
all right,
another race that's fifth place.
She finished
seventh in the points this season and finished 12th in the points last season.
Okay.
And last season she barely cracked the top 10.
Okay. I'm going to put Lance Stroll in an Indy Next car. Where do you think he finishes?
Probably
no podium.
Probably a little bit better than she does.
Ooh, Sean, you heard that?
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, all right. Let's go take a look at Lance's numbers.
No, you can't
couple of podiums.
I know. Some of it is hard to look at because right, of the so, the.
Anyways, let's leave that rabbit hole. I'm just saying. Anyways, so a little disappointed there. NASCAR news. NASCAR has petitioned for the 2311 and Front Row Motorsports lawsuit to be thrown out, and this could spell the end.
Yeah. Very much so, and I'm not surprised. Nobody can't get away with this kind of crap with the France family.
Yep. And I don't, you know, here's the other thing. This is the thing. This is obviously them feeling that they've been aggrieved somehow, not NASCAR, but these two teams. But if you're going to take on the might of NASCAR, do you not think it'd probably prudent to go talk to one, Mr. Roger Penske, and the other is Mr. Rick Hendrick, before you do such a thing?
Exactly.
Because, in all honesty, the only two that could get away with such a thing and, like, have it maybe happen is those two. Now, I mean, to sit in a room and talk to them about that would have probably been the best thing. Just can't believe that they did this. Let's just say it settles, right? These two teams, like, they're in the crosshairs of NASCAR, so they're not going to get away with anything.
Yeah. Yes.
You know.
Yep. I can see this coming a mile away. I mean, what are they going to do? Overthrow NASCAR,
right? And they're trying to say that it's unfair and all this, and but yet when the charters came out, these were the first two teams. These teams went right for it. So you know what the rules were going in. This is my thing. It's like once you get in, now you think that you can make it. You can affect the change, and that's not the way it's working. Because the way this whole thing works is that the pot will become equal for everybody. And they don't want it to be.
Right. Yeah, I'll tell you. You don't exactly have any powerhouses fighting against NASCAR for this. That's why it didn't work. There's only two teams.
How much negotiation took it? I mean, a lot of negotiations went up behind the scenes when Larson had the whole kerfuffle with the 600 and the 500 in the rain and all that. You know,
right.
I mean, yeah. You know, and I mean, honestly, you know, it probably came down to Hendrick, possibly an attorney or somebody, you know, sitting down with NASCAR and saying, hey, you know, this was really done for the good of the sport. All right. If we're going to do something, let's make it equal. You know, you guys save face, we save face. That's not what's happening here. You know, this is like, you know, two, you know, it's like these two guys, like these two teams are coming in and just guns blazing and just say, we're going to take NASCAR down. You know, and you know, with, you know, I'm not so sure. I mean, Michael Jordan does have some gravitas to this, but it's all because, you know, you got Big Bad Denny who thinks he's like it, you know? I mean,
right.
It's still, you know, whenever Denny's going to get it through his head that he's not Dale Sr., is going to be like the day, you know? I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
You know, I mean.
But it's kind of like the effort is similar to like, the, what was it? The people that were raiding Area 51.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like a couple years ago.
Right. Yeah. This is exactly what this is. You know, and
it's
like,
going to work.
Yeah. You think you're
day,
rich. Yeah.
It
you know, Denny
work.
Thinks he's like Denny thinks he's the next coming of Richard Petty and Dale. I mean, Jesus. Oh, he's the most unlike NASCAR driver. Besides Logano. I mean, the two of them. If you had to go the most hated drivers, it would be Denny and Logano.
And just ask Austin Dillon. He wrecked them both at Richmond.
Oh, yeah. Well, Austin Dillon's up there, too. So, anyway. So, we'll see. We'll continue to monitor that. Outside of that, the only other thing I sent you guys this was from the Turkey Neck Grand Prix out in California, the dirt car race.
Right.
J.J. Yeley.
Ugh.
Some rookie. The kid that's the rookie of the year in the USAC Dirt Series. Wiped him out. JJ was up high, right? And the kid just goes sliding up the track, takes him out in turn one, and it's five laps to go and takes him out, right? JJ gets out of the car and he Tony Stewart's the kid with the friggin' steering wheel from the car and gets it back from a track official. And then the kid comes around again, and he just. I mean, JJ just hucks it right back into the car. And then the guys from Flow Racing decide to interview JJ on the way back off the track. I mean, literally hadn't got his helmet off and gets it off. And he just went on this F-bomb tirade. It was awesome. It's out there on YouTube. You got to see it. It's hilarious. And it's like everywhere on like every social media now is like JJ's my hero. It was awesome.
I'm gonna have to look at that because that sounds amazing.
It's friggin' fantastic.
Jeez.
All right, should we do our picks for the season ender?
One final time.
All right, Christian, you lead off.
All right, I got Max taking the win, ended on a high note, and then I got a Ferrari with a second and third to try and maximize their points to overhaul McLaren. For the Constructors' Championship. Who knows, maybe we'll have signs of 2021 where this time, instead of manipulating the Drivers' Championship, we're going to manipulate the Constructors' Championship. Who knows? And then my dark horse is Gasly.
Ooh. Nate?
Well, I am going to have to go with kind of torn, but I think I know where it will go. I'm going to pick Max to win, and I think Carlos Sainz is going to finish second, and you're going to see Lewis Hamilton come in third, because he's usually pretty good there, so I think he'll at least get a podium. And my dark horse, and this is his best track, I think, out of all the calendar, is Yuki Tsunoda. Because he has a career high here of fourth place.
Ooh.
So I think he'll show up pretty well.
That's exciting.
Sean?
Larry? I'm going to take Max, close out the season.
We've done it. We've killed him.
I know. We've killed him.
Shit.
I am going to take Carlos in second in his farewell tour. I'm going to take Lando in third. And I'm going to take as my dark horse. I know Nate took him to finish third, but I'm going to take Lewis as my dark horse.
Nice.
All right.
Well, hang on. Who wins the Constructors' Championship?
I think he's saying McLaren.
I'm going to go McLaren. As much as I'd like to see Ferrari do it, because McLaren's just been horrendous this year. I'm gonna say McLaren.
I'm gonna go on a whim and say Ferrari.
Okay. Christian.
What?
Christian? You go McLaren?
No, my pick's back Ferrari.
Oh, Ferrari.
I'm giving them a chance because I think it would be one, a heck of a storyline, but two, hilarious to see Hamilton leaving Mercedes the way he is and going to the team that is the reigning Constructors' Champion.
I think that's a fair assessment.
One hell of a story.
So, and for whatever reason, you also have the storyline of Ferrari giving up one of the drivers that helped them win the title.
Yes.
So,
all right. Well, there you have it. And on that note,
good night.
Thank you guys for listening to the Red Mist Podcast, hosted by Christian Abbott, Sean Abbott, and Nathan Lavin. It's produced by Christian Abbott, and music is by Alex Wart and Harrison Tate.